Would like for us this afternoon to turn or try to be as expedient as possible. I know when we've sat down and had something to eat, it's pretty easy for us to get sleepy. So I don't know that I can jump around enough to be exciting and keep you awake. So we'll try to keep our thoughts concise and trust you can draw your minds in and not be too distracted. So let's turn to Hebrews, the fifth chapter, and would like to look at a couple verses here and try to springboard off of the thought we had this morning a little bit into something a little heavier, a little deeper. Chapter 5, verse 13 of Hebrews, it says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now, we read this morning and we exhorted us that we should desire milk as a newborn babe. And I believe that we should. I believe that we should have that earnest desire, that appetite, that craving for the things of God, for the simple word of God, that it would be food to us and nourishment to us. I said this morning that milk is something that's pretty much a staple. It's a complete food source for a newborn. I'll tell you that milk is something that I enjoy. I enjoy the flavor of it. It doesn't have to be so cold that I can drink it at various temperatures. I know people that it's got to be really, really cold or they can't handle milk. But I'm not one of those. I will tell you that some things go better with milk. Peanut butter and crackers is one thing that goes better with milk. And I'm going to tell you, if you serve me something for breakfast that milk don't go with, you probably are serving me the wrong thing. So breakfast is something that I think milk ought to be served at. That's just my opinion, okay? Although milk is good and it's a staple, it shouldn't be something that we just depend on for everything. So I would like for us to consider this, not in contest with the message this morning, but I'd like for us to consider something. I believe the milk verses in the scripture are those that speaks to our need without explanation and without interpretation. Just like milk for a little baby that comes into this world, they don't need salt and pepper for the milk. They don't need hot sauce. They don't need any bread to put it on. They don't need anything to go with it. It's complete in itself. And there are many verses in the scripture that it's just food for us. When we read that God is love, and we know that all things work together for good for those that are following his path. It's easy for us to grasp that. It's easy for us to get. It's like milk. It goes down smooth. It's nourishing to us. It can encourage us when we're discouraged. And there's many verses. There's many promises in the scripture. He's promised not to leave us or forsake us. That's kind of like milk. It's just it tastes good. It makes us feel good. It meets a need in our life. The assurance of God's love, of his compassion. There's many promises. There's the stories of the heroes and the deliverances, the many miracles that's in the scripture. It's easy for us to wrap our minds around that and be impressed with the power of God and all of those things. It's easy to digest, and as long as you're not lactose intolerant, then all of these verses, it's easy for us to absorb them and to get some nourishment out of them. But notice what the next verse says. It says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, a couple days ago now, we've got a brand new little granddaughter. And I know her parents very well now. And I know that they're going to see that she gets milk. She's going to get the right stuff for her. But I know them both well enough that someday they're going to introduce to her some things that's not just milk. And there was a day that you could have said steak to me and I would have thought, no. But now it sounds really good. Maybe not just right now, but because we've just had a meal. But steak sounds like something that I'm interested in. And one of the things that I will order when I go to a steakhouse is Brussels sprouts. That's been on the grill. Now that's pretty good. But I doubt that my little granddaughter would turn up her nose at that right now. And maybe some of you would too. But there is something that happens to our appetite as we learn to go beyond just those promises and those things that reassure us that God loves us. There's something about digging into the Word and wanting to know and wanting to understand some of the deeper things. And notice in maybe Acts, the 8th chapter, we notice an account here where I believe it's Philip. God instructs him to go and join himself with a man that's in a chariot. In verse 34, it says, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" So he's referencing a couple verses above there. And he's reading from the book of Isaiah. So maybe we would turn to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and read there. Because this is where this eunuch is reading from, Isaiah chapter 53. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. He says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers as dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken." And this is where this eunuch was reading, and it's a little bit obscure, is it not? We know today because Philip said, well, he took off from this verse and began to preach to him Jesus. And this man was so convinced by the explanation that the prophet was talking about Christ, the one that had just been crucified in Jerusalem not so long ago, that when they came to a place where there was a little body of water, he said, "There's water here. What would keep me from being baptized?" And he said, "There won't be nothing that keeps you from doing that as long as you believe. If you accept Christ as your atonement, as your Savior, you can be baptized." And the man got baptized right there. And it's because he had an appetite for something more than just the easy to digest things. He was wanting to understand exactly how something worked. And that's been a fascination in my life. It's been something that's motivated me to do a lot of research sometimes. I remember those things that I've tried to repair and not know maybe how something come apart or how it was supposed to go back together or how it was supposed to work. But remember the hours that I've spent over my lifetime in research and studying it and going back over this over and over again until I got it. I remember one time I was probably 12 or 13 years old. I don't remember exactly. I was pretty young, and I took the transmission apart on my lawnmower, and when I did, I made the bad call of I took the housing apart and I just turned it over and dumped it out on the bench. And all of those pieces come out and just kind of, and when I cleaned it up and I started putting it together, it was like one of those 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles. And it was like, I don't know which piece goes where because it went everywhere. But, you know, I was determined at that age, I was going to figure out how to make this go back together and work. And, you know, there is something about going beyond just being lactose intolerant and overcoming that to not just having an appetite for those passages in the scripture that just go down like frozen yogurt or custard from Culver's or ice cream or whatever it is. It's something that you might have to chew on a little bit. And you might have to stop and think, I wonder what the background story is on this. And this eunuch from Ethiopia, he was asking Philip, I don't understand. I don't get it. What's the prophet talking about? Was he talking about himself or is he talking about something else? And it opened an opportunity for his understanding to be enlightened. And he got a hold of something that made an eternal difference in his life. In Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, we have another verse. And it says here, in verse 5, I believe it is. He says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, how then wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? If just trying to digest the milk is difficult for you, and it causes some kind of reaction, and you're not able to keep it down, what about when troubles really come? And you need to get a hold of something because, not that you don't believe the promises, but I need something that cuts the props out from underneath the enemy. Yes. I need something that'll cut him off at the knees, so to speak. I need something that'll give me some power, yes, and some authority in this situation that I'm in life. I need something to overcome him. Not just the realization that it's God's promise to be with me, but I want to undermine the advances of the enemy, yes, to the point that he has to retreat, that he has to give me a break. That's what he's talking about, I believe, is if the footmen have wearied thee, how are you going to be able to contend with horses? Yes. I want to be able to contend with horses. I want to be able to contend with real spiritual enemy, real spiritual warfare. You talking about earlier, Sister Maxine was there at prayer request time. There's the Oklahoma City's got a lot of people out there that need Jesus. How are you going to reach them all? Well, if just keeping your own head above water is a struggle, and you can't hardly make it from one service time to the next or one camp meeting to the next, good luck winning Oklahoma City. I mean, we got to have some more stamina. We got to have some more. You got to be able to eat some steak. You got to be able to have an appetite for some Brussels sprouts or something. I don't know what it is on your agenda to learn how to like. Have you got anything on your agenda? Or do you have an agenda to learn how to like something? I don't know. Maybe that's something we ought to consider. Is there a level of understanding that you want to have? You know, maybe there's a book in the Bible that's extremely intimidating, and if you're reading through the Bible, you just come to that place and you skip over all of it. How many of you read the whole book of Daniel or just through about the sixth chapter and then you skip on to the next book? It's a challenge, isn't it? You know, when I'm reading about Daniel making those commitments of not eating the king's meat and the Lord giving him the interpretation of the dream and him being able to stand against the opposition and being thrown in the lion's den and saved from that, and reading the handwriting on the wall and reading about his three friends in the fiery furnace. I can gobble that up. I mean, that's like soft serve ice cream for the most part. But did you get over there and he starts talking about the horn that had eyes in it and all this kind of stuff? It starts, boy, I don't know what he's saying here. You got any, is that on your agenda? Is that on your radar to try to have an understanding of that? Because there's people out there that'll want to contend for things that are wrong, false doctrine. And Lord, help us to have some, I want to understand a little more. I want to be able to know what some of these verses are talking about. All right? Let's look now in Luke, the fourth chapter, and we'll start reading maybe about verse 16. Then he came, this is talking about Jesus, then he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's the same book that that eunuch in the chariot was reading from. And they handed him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. And we could go and read this in Isaiah, the 61st chapter, the first three verses. It's almost word for word, Old Testament to New Testament. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." I wonder how many times others down through the years, down through the generations, had read this passage of Isaiah and wondered, well, when is this going to happen? What's he talking about here? And had some level of intrigue, or maybe they said, well, it really don't do anything for me. I'm just going to not read that right now. This is like learning how. There's some things, you know, I don't know if I want to learn how to eat. Y'all got any of those? Well, I'll confess to you that there are things on my radar that other people seem to enjoy, and to me it doesn't look like enjoyable. But I think there was many people down through time that read this passage in Isaiah and said, well, that sounds pretty good. Wonder when that's going to happen. And Jesus brought it into perspective when he said, "This day, yes, it's fulfilled." Here's where the understanding, this is when the realization that this is going to really be accessible and available to us today. It's something more than just a fairy tale promise, or and that doesn't sound respectful to the scriptures. It's more than just a hope or a whim. This is right where the rubber meets the road. And all of us here today, we're going to have those things in our life that's like, I don't really understand. I need something that'll help me. I've faced some things, and you have too, most likely, that just seem to knock us completely off of our feet. And it's like, I don't know how I can go on from here. Just feel completely overwhelmed with the idea of being able to keep her chin up, being able to come in and be prepared for the Sunday school lesson or a message on Sunday. You can feel completely overwhelmed with that. But I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us to cultivate not only an appetite for milk, but for the deeper things, the things that challenge us. Well, I don't really know what that is. I read over it and it's like, I don't know. Lord, help. Give me some clues somewheres. I'd like to go to Acts 18th chapter and read about a man that did what we're talking about. Acts 18. His name is mentioned a few times, but not many. He's not like an apostle in the scripture. But let's go to 18 of Acts, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. What? Notice the word there. It said he was mighty in the scriptures. What did you think that meant? You think he was lactose intolerant? I don't think so. I think he had cultivated an appetite for the word.
Yes.
I think he probably had some of it memorized. I think that he was familiar with where to find some texts that were that spoke to his heart. He knew the old law. He knew the prophets. He knew the accounts of all of the Old Testament scriptures. It says, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So what did he know? He knew to preach, to teach, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he didn't know the full story. And when he came to speak, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly.
Yes.
And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. How did he help them much? Because he was mighty in the scriptures. He knew what it said. He had some background information. He knew the context that the writers were writing from. And he had this deep understanding of what the prophets were, the time frame they lived in and where they were coming from with what they said. And it says he mightily convinced the Jews, the religious people of the day. He was able to convince them because he knew more than just the superficial milky word, if you can understand what I'm trying to say. I don't want to do any discredit to the thought this morning. I just want us to realize that this is included in cultivating a desire for the word. But he was mighty in the scriptures, and he was able to convince the religious people, and that publicly, shewing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You know, there's some people out there that has some pretty strong belief systems that's in error. And you're not going to convince them by saying, you know, that's wrong. You're not going to be able to do it that way. You're going to have an understanding and be able to explain to somebody what that horn was over there in Daniel and what some of the verses are talking about in Revelation. You're going to have something behind. You ever talk to anybody about the first resurrection or the second death or things like that? We're going to have a handle on those things if we're going to convince religious people in our world today that they're on a misguided mission. Lord, help us to be able to be mighty in the scriptures.
Yes.
Apollos was that. He was able to do that. He relied on more than just the smooth things. He knew what he was talking about. And today, we need more apologists. We need them. Every congregation needs a bench full of them. We need to be able, not just, it needs to be more than just the pastor, where if there's a question, go ask them. I'm probably not the one you need to ask. Go ask them. But engage them. Be prepared to engage them. Be an Apollos. Apollos was never recognized as an apostle. Didn't write any books in the Bible that we have. But he was a very effective person for the kingdom of God. Then we read that verse this morning that said, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you have an appetite for the word, an appetite for the study of the word, and you apply yourself, and you're able to not only begin to taste and see and put data points in your head and in your heart and in your mind, but it says rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, help us to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, he says he sought for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know that's happening in our generation today. The Lord's looking around for some apologists, for a man that can stand in the gap. And what does he see? Does he find anybody? I want to tell you, I'm greatly challenged. I'm greatly challenged myself to be able to give an answer. It says that Apollos was able to convince the religious people, the Jews, and he was effective at it. He wasn't just entering into arguments, but he was able to be effective at it. Lord, help us to be able. I'll tell you a little story. Maybe this will help bring it into perspective. My brother went to Votech to learn automotive mechanics. I didn't. He did. And he was in the second semester. I don't know where they started giving them a little trust, you know, putting a little confidence in the students. And they had a engine apart and put it back together and had it all assembled and in the vehicle, and they were ready to start it first time. And the instructor come by and he said to my brother, and I don't know, probably three or four of them working together on this project, and the instructor come by and he said, are y'all ready to try it? And no, my brother said no. He said, we're going to start it. It's going to run. And he said, I've never seen anybody in this class start it the first time. You'll get it all assembled, and then you'll work on it for 2 weeks before you get it to run. And Michael said, you just watch. And they primed it a little bit, and it started up and running. And he was impressed. You know, he got a job out of that. He got recommended for a job from those kind of things. You know how the Lord wants us to apply ourselves to understanding the word, so he can give us a job.
Amen.
So he can give us something to do.
Amen.
And not just be ducking under the wire all the time and trying to get away from a responsibility. The Lord wants us to be able to stand up and say, mark me. You remember what Isaiah said over there in the 6th chapter? He got a vision of the Lord high and lifted up, felt intimidated by the Lord's presence, realized his insufficiency and all of that. But if you read on down, he said, after the Lord had been working with him and touched his lips with a coal of fire, he said, "Here am I, send me." That's what the Lord wants out of all of us here. Not just the pastor, not just the ones that's teaching Sunday school. He wants all of us. Can you imagine what kind of impact a congregation has on the city, the nation, the countryside, if you got a whole bunch of Apollos here? I hope you catch it. And you get the drift this afternoon and have a burning desire. I want to be able to have an understanding. I don't want to just follow along in the dust. I want to be out there on the front line. I want to be able to give an answer. I want to be more like Apollos. I want to be more like Isaiah. Isaiah didn't feel like he was capable in himself. But he was able to say, "I'm willing. I got a vision of who God is and how high and lifted up he is. And I'm willing. Lord, give me some understanding that I don't have. And I'll be willing to be like Apollos." I want to try to convince others and do that effectively. In 2 Timothy, we'll read this and we'll quit. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the first two verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his judgment," or his kingdom, excuse me. "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." So I'd like to charge you this afternoon before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be the one we have to answer to.
Yes, that's true.
He's the one that's going to hold me accountable. He's the one that's going to hold you accountable. Let your appetite for the word not just be to find out where the verse is that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Let's go a little deeper than that. Let's get some understanding where we'll be able to do what verse 2 said. Preach the word with your life. Preach the word with your actions. Be able to function in season and out of season. When it feels natural and people are willing, and also be able when it's out of season to take a true position and stand for what's right.
Yes.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. To understand doctrine, you know, you're going to have to do some digging. Doesn't say in there, you know, we believe that there's some standards of holiness that we ought to live by in our world today. You know, over there in the back of the book, it don't have a list of those. But the principle is in the scripture.
Yes.
And if we don't do some studying and applying ourselves, you know where we'll be? We'll be over there eating the ice cream and thanking the Lord that we've escaped when we ought to be in a place where we can teach others. Lord, help us. We'll never be able to preach the word if we're lactose intolerant. We will never understand doctrine or standards or be able to speak to the enemy in the gate. Like it says in the last verse of Psalms 127, we'll never be able to do that if we avoid strong meat. So I want to challenge you to eat some strong meat. Eat some of those things that looks like you don't really know what you're reading. Read it again. Look up some references. Ask the Lord to give you some understanding.
Yes, amen.
Apply yourself to gain the understanding. I believe the Lord will strengthen you. It'll be, as one verse says, it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll make you be able to stand up like Apollos did and be able to convince others of the true way that we ought to go. You pray for me.